This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
As fall fills up with activities and obligations, even a small time saver can feel like a big help. Grammarly is an all-in-one writing tool that makes clear, concise communication easier than ever, so you can finish your work earlier and head off to family dinners, social events, and fall weddings. Grammarly is free to download and works where you do, so every project gets finished quicker. Make sure your writing is free of mistakes with Grammarly's free, comprehensive writing suggestions, and get an instant take on how your message comes across with the free tone detector. Let Grammarly Premium's sentence clarity rewrites help you find the perfect words on the first try. You'll be confident writing client emails, deadline-driven reports, and presentations without staying late at the office. Get more time back in your day by writing with Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/podcasts to sign up for a free account. Then get 20% off when you're ready to upgrade to Grammarly Premium. That's grammarly.com/podcasts.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, and XWH employee. West Ham continue to put a smile on our face after a fantastic win at Elland Road on Saturday. We'll be talking about that game, whether Antonio is world class, if Moyes could be the best manager since Johnny Lyle, and Pyre Capital pulling out of buying the club. All that before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. That's all coming up on tonight's show.
Antonio.
Okay, that is the end of the show. As always, thanks for listening. X, I saw someone tweet this to Gary Lineker after the game. His name's Billy Crover, I think. And he said this. He said, Mikel Antonio has 33 goal contributions in his last 35 games. The 33 consists of 25 goals and 8 assists. And he said, would you agree if this was a striker from a top 6 club, everyone would be calling him world class? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't realise he'd contributed that much, to be fair.
I mean, I'm assuming that's right. It could be wrong. But if you are assuming it's right, that is incredible, by the way, for you.
Sounds right, doesn't he? Because he's been on, doesn't he? Because he's been on fire for so long now. I mean, yeah, I think so. Do you know what? I honestly believe the only thing at the moment that really sort of counts against him as such is his age. You know, if he was like 22, 23 now, people would be like, my word, who is this player? And they would be talking about him, as you say, in the same league as other great strikers in the Premier League. But because he's 30, 31, you know, and he's been around for as long as he has, and almost because of the fact that he's played right back, right wing, and so on, that he's never been a striker from the start, I think people almost underestimate how good he is. And that's I guess a good thing for West Ham in some ways, because it means that firstly we're more likely to hold on to him. Second of all, the opposition might underestimate him. And third of all, like, you know, you don't want your striker to be on the radar of everyone. So it is a surprise because he is doing so well. I mean, that goal was just brilliant. And, you know, he always looks like he could cause some trouble, albeit whether it be a goal or an assist. But yeah, I mean, amazing, mate. Another 3 points, largely gained due to his threat.
Yeah. What did you think of the game?
Game of two halves, so to speak, to coin an old cliche, but we were much better in the second half. I mean, the first half, I didn't think we were as bad as the West Ham Twitter meltdown suggested. I think we were a little bit off the pace as such, and we didn't start as well as I'd like us to have. But when it went in at half time, I felt like we were well in it still. Like, you know, I genuinely felt that we weren't going to lose that game, even though perhaps we hadn't been at our best. And then when we came out second half, we were just a different class. And I just think, again, we should have probably wrapped it up earlier than we did. But, you know, in terms of drama and excitement, there's no better way to do it in the last minute like that. But I felt we were really comfortable second half. And, yeah, a really, really strong performance second half. And I think individually some players played brilliantly.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, mate. First half wasn't great. It took some time to get into the game, but second half was a different story. Brilliant game to watch, by the way, like for the neutral or even as a West Ham fan. The second half was so entertaining. Mm. But I thought we were really good in tight spaces as well. I thought we coped really well under pressure. Our second goal was a testament to that. And what a goal it was. I mean, firstly, Antonio wins a header on the edge of his own box, which tells you about his work rate. Then I think it was Vlasic then did really well to hold up play under pressure. A lovely ball from Vlad to Declan. Declan's pass to Antonio was quality and Mickey did the rest. I mean, absolutely outstanding. I think Melier, the Leeds keeper, had a great game, by the way. I think we could have scored more goals if it wasn't for him. But my man of the match X was Benrahma. I thought he was different class. And we're used to seeing his quality on the ball, but yesterday his work rate off the ball was absolutely superb. And on the ball, fucking hell. I mean, he could find space in a single bed with Gemma Collins, Benny, couldn't he? I love watching him play. Was he your man of the match?
Very, very close between him and Bowen, I would say, because I think Bowen did really, really well as well. And his work rate is phenomenal. And obviously, he basically created the first goal. So, yeah, I'd have said those two. And I think the patrons reflected that, actually, that Benrahma and Bowen are the two that are in the lead. But again, with Benrahma, now, at the end of last year, sort of certain periods of last season, Moyes was getting so much stick for not playing him and not using him. And everyone was saying, you know, he's got this, he's this good, you should be playing him. But you could argue now, with the benefit of hindsight, Moyes did the right thing again, you know, got him sort of to familiarise himself with the Premier League, with West Ham and so on, in preparation for this season. And that was always kind of his philosophy. Like, Benrahma was always a sort of second season, was going to be the impact season, hopefully. He did a kind of similar thing with Bowen a little bit as well when he first came. And now he's looking like a quality player. I mean, we think we paid, you know, what is it? I can't remember now off the top of my head. Let's go 20 million. He's looking worth a lot more than that now. And he's looking a very, very classy player. And I think I agree with you. The one thing that he's really added this year is work rate, particularly when he's not in possession of the ball. So I think that's a massive thing. And Bowen as well, just is constantly buzzing around, like, you know, works his ass off. He's getting up and down the wing, you know, really, you know, he's done a good job up front in the week, and then managed to continue that on at the weekend against Leeds. And I just think every single player at the moment, bar a couple, are just on absolute peak of their games. And I just hope we can maintain it going forward.
God, yeah. Well, like you say, the patrons had their vote, and in third place was Jarrod Bowen with 22%. Second was Antonio with 23%, so very close. But the comfortable winner in the patrons' eyes was Benrahma with 40%. But do you know what, X? It was a display of resilience, proper togetherness, and at times proper quality. I mean, what a result, especially on the back of the cup win at Old Trafford.
It's been a great week. I mean, particularly given the circumstances of last weekend and the, you know, the last minute penalty miss against Man United to come back and then knock them out the cup, and then obviously beat Leeds in the last minute as well is massive. And I think this is another thing that cannot be underestimated from the team is the mentality of the players. You know, the mental strength, the togetherness, the teamwork, the camaraderie. It seems to be so right at the moment, and you look at someone like Zouma, for example. You know, he's came in, he's got into the team. I think he's a brilliant player, by the way. I've been so impressed with him since he's been with us. And he just seems to have fitted in perfectly with the whole kind of mentality and personality of the place. And it just feels really, really, really good at the moment. And, you know, the Man United game in the week was brilliant. The fact that all these players came in that hadn't played much, you know, I know we haven't done a podcast since then, but so it might be worth talking about. But I think obviously Fredericks went off early, but he created the goal brilliantly. I thought Alex Crowe looked decent. I thought numerous players played really well. Noble had a good game. You know, I think the centre backs, Diop and Dawson, had good games. Johnson had a good game. So what is so good at the moment as well is that we've got these players that are on the fringes that can then come in and play on a par with the players that they've replaced in the first team. So effectively, it's almost like we've got two first 11s now, which is something that West Ham have never had before. Now, we talked about our squad needing strengthening this year. And when you look at it, if they can all stay fit, which is obviously the massive thing as a West Ham fan, then it's a very good backup to have. You've got backup in almost every position apart from forward, but then you played Bowen up there against Man United. I thought we had a good game in the cup, so maybe Bowen is the answer. I don't know, but it just, there's something that just feels really, really good at the moment, and we go into every game that I think that we play, and I think we can get a win from it. Of course we won't, and I'm not saying we will, but there's no game I think, oh gosh, I don't know, we're going to get battered here. You know, I actually fancy our chances in every game, and if we lose, then I feel like we're going to lose marginally, not get battered, and it's just a good time.
Yeah, it is. Going back to what you were saying about the squad there, and I totally agree, by the way, and the way you could look at it, really, is that potentially a sort of substitute striker is the only thing we're missing from the squad now. I don't know if you agree with that, but if you're David Moyes, who are you looking at in January? I mean, you don't have to be specific in terms of who and what, you know, what type of player, but in terms of what sort of position, where are you focusing on that?
The only two I think that could do with a bit more strength is, like you said, forward. Yes, Bowen can play there. Yes, Yarmolenko can probably play there. Vlasic as well. I wouldn't even be surprised if Benrahma can play there. So you do have options. But I do think it would be good to have a natural finisher or even like a target man, because none of them are target men. You know, Antonio to an extent, but Bowen, you know, Vlasic, Benrahma, whoever you play up there is not going to be able to hold the ball up front. I think you're looking at a target man maybe to come on if you're losing, or if you're trying to hold on to a 1-0 win, you just want to just hoof the ball and then want someone to hold it up there. I think we're probably missing that. And I also think possibly a left back, but that's not desperate, because obviously you've got Cresswell, who should be the first choice. Then you've got Mazuaku, who can also play there, and you've got Ben Johnson. So when you think of it like that, maybe not. But there's question marks over Mazuaku's defensive ability. Obviously, Creswell's not getting any younger. And Ben Johnson, you know, I think it's a decent cover there. But like you say, it's not desperate. It's not desperate for that position. So probably not. I mean, not much needed elsewhere. I mean, you look through it, you know, you've got two good right backs in Schaffel and Fredericks, and Johnson can play there if need be. You've also got Ashby in the academy, who I think is decent. Then you've got your centre backs. You've also got four there with Ogbonna, Zouma, Dawson, and Diop. And then you've got Baptiste or someone, or even Rice if you needed to, if you're desperate. They could go there, or Cresswell at about three. Then the left back, you've got the ones I mentioned. Defensive midfield, you've got four. You know, Suchet, Noble, Rice, Crowe, and then you got all the attacking midfielders as well. It is literally just the forward there where you haven't got that much depth. So, and I think Moyes has taken the approach, and it's worked, where if you have too many players, you end up with players that are unhappy. And players that then don't maybe contribute to the spirit and are looking for moves and perhaps don't help the harmony, whereas he's got players there that seem happy with what they've got and happy to play when they've called upon and happy to fight for their place, but they're not going to kick up a fuss.
Yeah, and we've got to give so much credit to David Moyes, haven't we? I mean, he really has worked a miracle at West Ham. And depending on how we do this season, he could potentially be the best manager we've had since Johnny Lyle. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. One of my close mates texted me. We were drunk watching the AJ fight. We were just having a bit of banter back and forth. And he said to me, you know, where does Moyes rate in managers? Do you think in West Ham's history? And I actually said to him, in terms of me going, because I just missed out on John Lyle, my first season was Billy Bonds as manager. So I just missed out on sort of John Lyle as such. So I was ranking them, and I think I've got to put Moyes first. And the reason I've got to do that is because obviously I'm not saying he's necessarily better than Lyle or Greenwood, but in terms of what I have seen as a fan, I think because he's saved us from relegation once,
then
he's left us, then he's come back and he's got us, you know, kind of saved us from relegation again, then he's got us a European spot, and it looks like we're going to be there or thereabouts this season. So what more do you want? The only other contenders, I guess, are Redknapp, but then Redknapp was fifth one season and the other seasons were kind of like sort of mid-table-ish, weren't they? Comfortable, but nothing more than that. You know, then you could argue, Pardew got us promoted and then got us to an FA Cup final, but was sacked quite quickly after that and started to lose it a little bit. I think he got a bit too carried away in his own belief and kind of lost it. And then who else is there? I mean, you could argue Brooking, but he was never permanent. Allardyce, well, the football wasn't good enough when Allardyce was manager. And he never took it to the next level as such. So I don't think there's been a better manager in my time now. And I don't feel like I'm getting carried away. And I wouldn't be surprised if you look at the statistics. He's got to be up there anyway. And, you know, we have the best squad, I think, we've ever had since I've been going, and he has assembled many of them. Yeah. You know, you think of the players that he's brought in, you know, Areola, Azuma, Shafal, Suchek, Bowen, Benrahma, Flasic, you know, converted Antonio from a decent winger to a forward that's looking borderline world class at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, it's all got to be down to him. He did the same to Arnautovic as well. You know, another player that was kind of hit and miss for us, made him a quality player. So I think he's right up there. And also, I think another key thing that he's done is that he's assembled a backroom staff that are really, really strong. I love the fact we've got Kevin Nolan, Stuart Pearce, you know, Nevin, who's in the England setup, and McKinley. Like, it's a really quality coaching staff there. And a final thing that he's done is that he stands up to the chairman. You know, Zuma was the one he wanted. Zuma was the centre-back he wanted all summer. And they tried to throw Milenkovic and various other players at him, but he stood strong and he got Zuma, you know. And I think that is something that is worth noting. Crowell's another one. He'd identified him at the start of the window and said that he was a great player. They had a bit of a wobble during the Euros and wasn't as strong, so they sort of managed to sort of put the doubts in his mind. But then he went back and said, if I can get a loan for him, let's take him. Took him, and I wouldn't have said it was an exceptional performance, but I thought he was strong in his debut. So, yeah, it's just good times, mate. Good times. Yeah,
it really is. Here's an uncomfortable question. Where does the Bald rank in terms of best ever owners at West Ham?
It's very hard, that one, because, you know, I don't think we've ever really had great owners,
I mean, that's what makes it an interesting question, because we you're right. I don't think we've ever had a Bald that has taken West Ham to the next level or even been liked. So in that case, by default, are these owners that everyone hates the best this club has ever had?
Jeez, whatever we say right now is going to get absolutely torn apart. But, I mean, you have to look at it like this. I guess in terms of investment and what they were going to do, wanted to do, I guess the Icelandics were the best in some ways, but then they completely fell apart when the Icelandic banks went bankrupt and spent money ridiculously. So whilst it was fun while it lasted for like a year or whatever it was never a sustainable business model. Terry Brown, you know, you know, we sold Rio Ferdinand and ended up buying a load of rubbish, which was kind of Redknapp's choice. But, you know, he often sold players and didn't really invest heavily. You know, he had all the bond problems before that. I don't know, mate. It's a really tough question. I mean, the thing is, in terms of what's going on in the pitch, then this is what we were promised if we moved to the new stadium. And we were promised a stadium that felt good to be in, which it has this season, but as we've always said, that's a results-based business. There's been a lot of things in the past that have not been good for the board, you know, 10 years worth of not goodness, really, for want of a better phrase. So can you forgive that in a season and a half? I don't know, but if we can qualify for Europe again this year and have a successful cup run and do it again next year as well, then I think possibly they might be able to shift some, and I'm not going to say everyone, but some of their haters to being, what's the word, neutral, perhaps?
To be tolerated, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, like, there must be other clubs, and yeah, other clubs don't understand what it is that West Ham fans are unhappy with. You know, they wouldn't understand the sort of the loss of identity, the lies, the PR disasters, the kind of lack of investment most years apart from a couple. They wouldn't understand that because they'd look at it and I think West Ham just qualified for Europe. They've just beaten Man United and Leeds. They're, you know, what I think 2 points off the top of the league, are we? Something ridiculous like that. So, you know, they'll look at it and they'll think, what are West Ham fans complaining about? But then they wouldn't know. So 3 points off the top of the league, they wouldn't know what the bigger context. But then, you know, you're looking at it, we're sitting seventh in the league, right? And we're in Europe, and we're going to probably get through to the next stage of the League Cup. You know, it's hard to criticise right now, but how much of that is down to David Moyes and how much is that down to the board? Did they get lucky, inverted commas, in getting him, and has David Moyes just done an exceptional job which has saved them? I don't know. It's all, you know, open to question. And I think most people that hate the board wouldn't. This is not good enough still.
But I tell you what, in terms of how positive things are now, and Mad Dog said it on a previous show, you know, we've come so far as a football club, so far. And when you look at some of the dark times we've had since leaving Upton Park, and they seem darker now than they did at the time, because I think you look back at how bad things were compared to how they are now, and fucking hell, we have hit some serious bumps in the road. And to look at us now and how entertaining we are and how happy the players are and what a fantastic gaffer we've got and the backroom staff and how you just go out every week feeling like you can beat anyone. Honestly, X, I can't remember watching a West Ham team this fit, this committed, this passionate and this emotionally involved. Can you?
No, I would say, you know, they always ask, you know, like we always ask the 1980 and 1986 team, who was the better side? I think the only team really that would go slightly close, there's two since I've been a fan. So it was the season we finished fifth. Under Redknapp, you know, Di Canio and Canute and so on. And then the season where we got to the cup final with Pardew. I mean, they're probably the three best teams I've watched as a West Ham fan, this, and obviously including this one. And I think probably when it comes down to it, if you think about it, I would say now is the better team. Because if you go through the players position for position, you know, I think you're going to be close with the one under Redknapp to who was the better team. But I think in turn, when you include spirit and you include team ethic and you include motivation, I think this team probably edges it.
Yeah. That'd be a good one to put to the patrons, actually. See what they think.
Yeah.
Well, this week in a Premier League predictions competition, I gained 30 points on you, mate, after scoring 99 compared to your 69, which has reduced the gap. And there is still a gap, to be fair to you, of 115 points in total. But we do have a new leader in Mark Radford, who went from fifth to first, replacing Terry Lee 11, who goes to second. Dave Bushell is third. Dan Lomas 89 goes from eighth to fourth. And Gary Prince makes up the top five. X, over the past week, Pi Capital have announced that they're withdrawing from any potential takeover bids for the club. What did you make of that?
The whole thing is just another part of our circus history, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's just... I don't even know where to start, really, mate, to be fair. It's just the whole thing. It was just a bit of a joke, really, wasn't it? From the very, very start, like, they came in, their PR strategies were bizarre, to say the least. They got players involved that clearly didn't even care or even seem to even know that they were involved with it, if you talk about Rio Ferdinand. And it was just very, very bizarre. Very bizarre. And the fact they just gone away so quickly shows that they can't have had that serious an intention of trying to buy the club. The fact that they've made two offers and they've just gone, all right, fair enough, that we agree with David Sullivan, now's not a good time to buy the club. Well, then, firstly, why did you not go earlier when it was a good time to buy the club? Second of all, you know, if you're that keen, if you're that good buying the club, you're going to improve the club anyway from now. So it is a good time to buy the club because you're going to build on the success that we've already got, the platform that we already have. Mm-hmm. Their strategies were very odd. You know, they officially announced a £400 million offer, and then Tom Skinner, no, bless him, no disrespect to him, top man, comes out and says the next day, actually, it was £100 million more. They got it wrong. And then they have their own interview with themselves where they
and they fucked that up and all, didn't
exactly
they?
Where they started saying that West Ham never sold out at Upton Park, yet they couldn't get tickets when they wanted to go. The whole thing was just so bizarre.
It's fucking shambles, wasn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think the most defining moment in how shambolic their takeover bid was is the moment all West Ham fans said, we'd actually rather stick with fucking GSB. Like, we've been campaigning to get him out for so long, but I'd rather fucking stick with this lot than have Pi Capital involved. I feel a little bit sorry for Tony, if I'm honest, Tony Cotty, because since he's come on board, he seems to be the front man for them. And I think he got a bit of stick when that statement came out, which is a shame because he is West Ham and he was obviously part of a lot of the behind-the-scenes discussions that could well be exciting and we'll never know what they are. But I think it's a joke.
I don't understand personally, and you know, we get on very, very well with TC, and you know, I don't mean this disrespectfully to him at all, but I don't understand personally why he positioned himself so aligned with this company when they were clearly nowhere near buying the club. Even though he managed to sort of spin him a load of yarns and, you know, tell him a load of rubbish that seemed believable, or they just, I don't know, like, if it was me and I was a West Ham legend like he is, or certainly if you don't classify him a legend, he's definitely a, you know, a top former player. I don't see why you would go against the current board, align yourself with someone that's basically trying to get them out when there was no sort of real closeness to them actually buying the club.
You just said the same about the Ferdinand brothers, though. I mean, how did they manage to get Rio and Anton on board? I mean, Rio, I don't think gave two fucks anyway. But Anton, I mean, he's very passionate with West Ham. He is a West Ham fan. And he's no mug, Anton. So to have convinced him, and unlike his brother, who didn't give two fucks, he was vocal at times, not many times, but he at least publicly came out and said, look, I back these guys. To get him and Tony Cotty to genuinely say that this is a proper firm, this, I don't know, part of me thinks, you know, was there a solid plan that the fans don't know about?
The only thing that I can say, and again, I'm very conscious of saying this because I'm sure there'll be articles written on it. So I'm going to go with the tagline that this is not definite. This is not 100%. Please don't run an article on it. I don't want the club on my back about it. I'm just talking about rumours that I've heard, and they are rumours. But the rumour that I have heard is that one of the people that was involved with Pi Capital is he's nameless in the sense that he wasn't in the media and stuff, but he is one of the bigger investors, I think, potential investors. Apparently he already has spoken to Sullivan a bit about trying to invest anyway, but that he may be looking to form another consortium with other people that will then launch another bid. Now, as I say, these are all rumours. I'm not saying I have concrete evidence on this. I don't. I just have it in a WhatsApp group that I'm in of knowledgeable people involved with the club. It's something that's been said in that, but it's not a factual thing. But that's kind of that. This was almost a sort of test the water type thing and see what happened. Whereas there might be a more solid a campaign launched in, at another point. But how true that is, I don't know. But it kind of makes sense to be that. But as I say, it could be a load of rubbish. I don't know. But that's something to consider.
I'm actually quite pleased it's been put to bed now, to be honest. I think that was not a black cloud, but it was, I think, an unwanted distraction to the good stuff that we're doing at the moment. So I'm actually quite pleased that they can fuck off now, with respect, because I think they were embarrassing us, really, weren't they? It's almost, looking at it, it's almost like, if Tottenham fans successfully managed to prank West Ham fans into thinking it was a genuine bid, I don't think they could have done a worse job of the PR than the actual genuine Pie consortium did. You know, that's how bad it was.
Well, there was talk, and again, rumours, this is not factual, that it was almost David Sullivan that set this up to almost make him look better. You know, get some fucking dodgy takeover story that makes, and it did, because people were saying that they'd rather them than Pi. So I don't think that's true, but that was one of the rumours. It was because it was that bad.
You wouldn't have got Tony and Anton involved, though, if that was the case, would you?
Well, it depends how distant you were down the line. If you were, you know, if he said to, a millionaire or billionaire friend, right, you know, mate, help me out here. There's $100,000 for you. Make this consortium. This is the plans. Get likes of those involved. Do it for a bit. Then make it look rubbish. Then I'm going to look better. I'm not saying that that's the case. There's loads of conspiracy theories out there. But well, there you go. But it's something that a lot of people do believe.
Mm. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. Because, you know, it's that ridiculous that it's brought this theory to some people. Fucking hell. It can only happen at West Ham. It's so strange, isn't it? So strange.
Yeah.
Right, let's hear what X has to say about club affairs this week. To listen to the rest of this podcast, you need to be a patron of the West Ham Way. Becoming a patron couldn't be easier. Just visit patreon.com/the West Ham Way and confirm your subscription to get full access to the West Ham Way podcast, our second weekly show called the West Ham Way podcast Extra Time, classic clips of audio and video interviews, exclusive news from X, match day team news before anyone else, an exclusive forum, live Q&As with myself and X, monthly prize draws, discounts on events and merchandise, and behind the scenes content, all of which for just £5 a month.
Want a great way to recognize your employees? Check out Custom Ink. Have you ever thought about doing something special for your customers? Custom Ink can do that too. And wouldn't your team love some custom gear? Custom Ink is ready. Custom Ink is your go-to custom gear partner with great customer service, quality products, and all-in pricing along with personalized help when you need it and an easy-to-use website when you don't. Plus, everything is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Check out what we can do for your business at CustomInk.com.
When you shop at a Walmart Vision Center, you get it. You know that you'll spend a little less on stylish glasses for the whole family.
Welcome to the Vision Center. Let me know if you need help finding the perfect frames.
Hey, Mom, you were right. These glasses are cool.
Hon, they take our insurance. That means Papa's getting a new pair, too.
Whoa, glasses start at just $39. Next stop, groceries. So you can get a little more of what you need. Find a Vision Center near you. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.